Welcome and thanks for tuning in to Diving Deep with DL. Today we're going to talk about a topic that happens as consistently as the sun rises and sets. It has various aspects, sources, and environments. It applies to young and old alike. Some anticipate it because of attentiveness and preparedness, while others dread it because of the lack of readiness. It's easy to administer to others, but for self, most tend to be a tad bit lenient with the evaluation process. It's a practice that applies in both the physical and spiritual realms. That's the plain old truth. We expect it and support it in the physical realm, but try to avoid it at all costs in the spiritual. What do you think it is? Because the simple truth, the spiritual aspect, is what matters most to your eternity. You got your tanks. Let's dive in. This segment is titled Discipleship, the Way of Life. Test and testing, a necessity, yes or no? Why do tests create such physical and mental quandaries for most of humanity? And yet, testing begins way before elementary school. Babies have verbal tests all the time, yes or no? Next level testing occurs in the majority is high school and college, while others go beyond the higher education onto their master's, PhDs, and MDs. Testing all the way. Would that be a yes or a no? Tests could be as simple as distinguishing colors or identifying letters on an R chart, and as sophisticated as some entrance and certain exit tests. It's interesting how the change of a word creates a higher level of anxiety because the test is called an exam. But the simple truth, it's a test. And for most, stomachs get upset, mouths get dry, minds fog over, when everything was clear as a bell moments before sitting down to provide what you have learned and comprehended, and now it's time to show you can apply it. Most everyone knows one must be prepared for any type of test, that is, except for babies, and everyone desires to pass, yes or no? But is there anyone who really desires to fail a test? Everyone knows that successful strategies for testing is study, study, self-test, study, self-test, and study some more. Why would study and self-testing be an important ingredient in successful testing in the physical, yet not have the same focus, purpose, and effort for one's spiritual life? Administering self-tests are called for and needed in both the physical and spiritual realms, my fellow disciples. You got to believe this truth. Let's dive into what God is saying, and I pray after today, your hearing of God's truths will lead to a changing of your thinking on how you perceive testing. Amen? Listen to this truth of God. It's 2 Corinthians 13:5. Test yourselves to see if you are in the faith. Examine yourselves. Or do you not recognize this about yourselves, that Jesus Christ is in you, unless indeed you fail the test? First, I must say, did you catch it? If you are in the faith. It's interesting that God doesn't say of the faith, but in the faith. So faith in God must be something that you are immersed in, and it's outside of yourself coming into your essence supernaturally by God. Now, based on last week's Godcast, Discipleship the Way of Life, Tell Me If You Know, we've learned that when God uses if, then we should expect some action is going to follow. And that action could be wholesome to our essence or could be downright evil. Remember Cain? Well, if 2 Corinthians 13:5 is no different and God commands us to test ourselves and it's not a suggestion or a recommendation from God, and we should know more about ourselves if we choose to be forthright and honest, right? And when we're not honest about what we see and know about ourselves, as we learn from God's truths, self-deception is eternally dangerous. Yet God doesn't command to be tested by others to confirm his work in and through our lives. God commands their disciples to test themselves. But you know what you think, say, and do more than anyone else when no one except God, that is watching and listening. Yes, God commands tests. Tests for what, many would ask? Tests to see. To see what? To see the attributes of the only true God infused into your essence. That's what. True intrinsic creature changes in and through your life of this new convert. That was just a poorly maintained dumpster at the back end of a restaurant most would avoid. But now, there's real significant intrinsic characteristic changes that were never present before in this essence that was walking around deeply involved in the things of this world within the sin-infested snake pit. And although walking at one's own pace on the surface appearing to be full of life, yet under the skin, a decomposing spiritual corpse peering through spiritual darkness. God's marvelous light is able to penetrate, detect, and expose what's under the skin. It's God's light and truth that eradicates this dead creature's spiritual darkness. Praise God. It's God's grace infused into one's unexpected essence, working supernaturally to fashion mammoth changes into one's innermost being, which directly empowers, inspires, and energizes their soul, spirit, and nature, which is the catalyst to this phenomenal conversion and transformation work completed by God. Then, the old heart with old thoughts, old principles, and old practices that are all housed within the old spirit are replaced by a new disposition with new temperaments and new considerations containing new enlightenments, including integrity and morality changes within this new spirit changing into this new man. Go read, study, and meditate on 2 Corinthians 5:17, Ephesians 4, and Colossians 3. Amen? Now, this surrendering heart of flesh is actually beating for the first time, and it's beating to a beat other than its own cadence. Now, this new man possesses a renewing mind that was overwhelmingly addicted to flesh desires of evil thoughts, immorality and impurity, adulteries, fornications, idolatry, thefts, false witness, slanders, and a plethora of other sin and murder. Be it in the physical, the act itself, or murder in the heart, the actual act itself. You must believe this truth of God. Both murderous acts lead to the same spiritual demise without repentance, because that's what Jesus said, and that's the plain old truth. And my fellow disciples who are just tuning in, please go and listen to Discipleship, the Way of Life, Repentance, Part 1 and 2. Amen. This new man is the recipient of a new supernaturally infused way of thinking that one could actually have a pure thought that was a helpless and weak not too long ago. And now, a new implanted spirit that is the temple for God the Holy Spirit to occupy and work through. To see. To actually see, to see beyond this deceitful scheming essence and this deceitful scheming plane, to actually see the evidence or proof that God the Holy Spirit has entered into and has taken up residency within this innermost being's essence. Eyes that now can see. They see what is good and now can identify and discern their own telltale signs of sin, unfaithfulness, and disobedience. I know you know this truth, that no one ever realizes they're spiritually blind. That is, until God gives them eyes to see, or are spiritually lost. That is, until God finds them, or are spiritually dead. Until God makes you alive. Go read, study, and meditate on Luke 10. Amen. Now, to see. Yes, to see. But is that all? One would ask. No, 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 my fellow disciples. Not only to see, but you can count on there's a speech test as well. To see means to investigate, ascertain, check, and find out. Not just to look at, to catch a glimpse of. No. In this broadness of God's use of the word see, let's go back to 2 Corinthians 13:5 again and listen to what God is saying as it testifies to this internal work that needs to be accomplished by you, their disciple. Test yourselves to see if you are in the faith. Examine yourselves. Or do you not recognize this about yourselves, that Jesus Christ is in you, unless indeed you fail the test? Before we proceed, I'll send you this one in a bubble. How would you know if Jesus resides in you? Well, the short answer, your mouth. Because you have to listen to see. And one would say, to see what? To see this new tongue. Yes, a new man speaks with a new tongue. Yes, there is a test on your speech as well, my fellow disciples. You can count on that. I'll pray and you'll be listening to Jesus. And if you haven't, I pray today your thinking will change regarding listening to Jesus. Now, you can also rest assured, my fellow disciples, you should expect that on God's clipboard of questions, there'll be a section with questions about your tongue usage. You can count on that. Listen to these words of Jesus in 1 John chapter 2. But whoever keeps his word, in him the love of God has truly been perfected. By this we know that we are in him. The one who says he abides in him ought himself to walk in the same manner as he walked. Beloved, I am not writing a new commandment to you, but an old commandment which you have had from the beginning. The old commandment is the word which you have heard. And to testify would be reading this one to you. Come and hear, all who fear God, and I will tell of what he has done for my soul, as I quote Psalm 66:16. Testing a tongue would be a tongue that echoes the truth placed within its innermost being, heart, and mind by God, a tongue that goes from spewing profanities and cursing God and constantly taking God's name in vain to a tongue that praises God at the top of his lungs, a tongue that spewed filthy and unclean words that were toxic, spiteful, malicious, and detrimental to itself, family, and others, a corrupted tongue that condescended others continuously. The simple truth, a defiled, perverted, lying old tongue. To this new tongue, a tongue that proclaims, a true heart and spirit, supernatural circumcision completed by God, and their work under the skin produced the fruit of repentance. And when the thinking configurations, standards, and templates began to change, a renewing of the mind became a reality, coupled with God's supernatural spiritual focus, work, teaching, and power that set into motion a new message for this chosen tongue. A new tongue that speaks of the word of God, that edifies, exhorts, testifies, blesses, and does not curse. A new tongue that possesses the ability for correction versus condemnation, for speaking the truth in love versus lying, and living an active word of God flows off the tongue, a tongue that offers words of grace and prayers of thanksgiving. A new tongue that once was a pyromaniac in the room. And now, this tongue is the evidence of God's will, God's work, God's power, and God's Spirit. Oh, the predetermined plan and foreknowledge of God. A tongue that expresses the love of God with the sweetness of truth. A tongue declaring the righteousness of the only true God. A tongue that joyfully sings of God's righteousness. And a tongue that proclaims Him, admonishing every man and teaching every man with all wisdom, so that this tongue may present every man complete in Christ. For this purpose also this tongue labors, striving according to His power, which mightily works within it. Now, listen to what Jesus says. The good man brings out his good treasure, what is good. And the evil man brings out of his evil treasure, what is evil. But I tell you that every careless word that people speak, they shall give an accounting for it in the day of judgment. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. As I quote what Jesus said in Matthew 12. So, may I ask, do you think what you say will be in a Q&A session with the judge of the living and the dead? Is that a yes or a no? NGA. Now, the plain old truth, Jesus will not occupy an old wineskin. I don't care what the false teachers and the truth deluders say. Jesus only occupies an essence that the Helper is occupying and directing forever. Go read, study, and meditate on John 14. And if the Spirit is alive in you, then Jesus and the Father have also made your essence a dwelling place for their spirits to live and work in and through you as well forever. Hear this truth of Jesus. God says through their disciple John in John 14. Jesus answered and said to him, "If anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our abode with him." By Jesus using the word abode with, signifies that Jesus is revealing himself directly to his disciples. This is an intimate relationship that's established after the Father delivers you from the domain of darkness and transfers you into the kingdom of His beloved Son, Jesus. God the Holy Spirit convicts, which again is the catalyst to repentance, and your thinking begins to change. And as your thinking changes, repentance becomes the stimulus to the renewing of your mind, and is surely one of many essentials of Jesus' occupation within the new spirit placed into the new convert by God's supernatural heart and spirit transplant. Go study Ezekiel 36, and they experience a true circumcision made without hands, as Colossians 2 testifies to this phenomenal spiritual workmanship of God Himself. Now, you must examine yourself. Oh, my fellow disciples, not with a fleshly eye that's influenced by the world and by your own sinful flesh, with fleshly and personal desires persuaded by ambition and the thirst for honor, praise, and approval. Nor is it the opinions, sentiments, and views and beliefs of others. No, the examining instrument for the new convert must be, and the use of, God's living word, the absolute truth of God's doctrine, God's revelation, God's love, God's grace, God's mercy, God's forgiveness, God's ways, God's will, God's commands, God's wisdom, God's promises, God's salvation, God's goodness, God's purpose, God's power, God's might, and God's inspiration by God's Spirit. This new convert does recognize what they see in the mirror. They see the work of God in and through his life and is now a doer of the word and not a mere hearer that deludes themselves. You are becoming a man of God, adequate and equipped for every good work, as 2 Timothy testifies you will become. The overall condition of one's spiritual state is the true indication of the result of the test. If the power of God is present and at work, then pass it is. And if it's not, then the only alternative left with an NGA mindset is fail. You know the amazing thing? Testing is an NGA process because it's either pass or fail, because the or in pass or fail is not a gray area. That's the plain old truth. Why are tests necessary? Because the simple truth, testing is a huge part to confirm what has been learned, comprehended, and is an active characteristic in one's essence. What a novel idea. Tests reveal areas of strength and weaknesses, and that's both in the physical and spiritual realms. You can count on that. And testing could be formal or informal, but each approach provides the means for one to gain understanding about none other than yourself. Tests confirm what you know, but they also confirm what you don't know as well. As I was preparing for this podcast, the Spirit brought back to my remembrance a situation with a new adjuster years ago, and he was taking the adjuster licensing exam. Now, in the grading process, 70 is a passing score, and when the adjuster returned from the exam, they were quite proud that they had passed with a 70. There was excitement because it is an important step in the adjuster field, because if you fail, you will either retake and pass or find another job. So, they were high-fiving with co-workers, and when we met to discuss the exam and score, he asked me why I wasn't satisfied with his passing score. Well, my response, I think, caught him by surprise. 70 proves what you did know, without a doubt. But the 30% that was missed is what you don't know. And that's what concerns me about your score. And since the results were not provided to us, I hope the 30% wasn't in the compliance, law, and ethics sections. So, that's in the physical. And again, I will testify, the physical is directly related to the spiritual. You can count on that. Now, let's dive into this spiritual testing aspect of our existence. And please understand and be mindful of the fact that God does test. That's the plain old truth. And there are numerous passages that confirm the biblical truth that God does test their disciples. But first, we're going to look at what the disciple Moses had been inspired to write in Genesis 22, 1 through 3. Now, it came about after these things that God tested Abraham and said to him, Abraham. And he said, here I am. He said, take now your son, your only son, whom you love, Isaac, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I tell you. So Abraham rose early in the morning and saddled his donkey. And he took two of his young men with him and Isaac, his son. And he split wood for the burnt offering and arose and went to the place of which God had told him. Points to consider when God is testing you. Obedience to God's command is crucial to God's calling on your life. Listening to God's voice is crucial to God's calling on your life. Answering God is crucial to God's calling on your life. Following God's direction is crucial to God's calling on your life. testing will involve your faith. Not faith in yourself, nor faith in others, nor faith in any man-made thing, but your faith in the only true God. And your faith in God is based on what God has, is, and will be doing in and through your life now and forever. Amen? Now listen to Abraham's profession of faith. Isaac spoke to Abraham, his father, and said, "My father." And he said, "Here I am, my son." And he said, "Behold, the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering?" Abraham said, "God will provide for himself the lamb for the burnt offering, my son." So the two of them walked on together, as Genesis 22 testifies. But did you hear it? Listen again. God will provide for himself the lamb for the burnt offering. Now, if you're familiar with Genesis 22, you know what happened before, you know what happened now, and you know what happened after. But if you haven't, go read it, because it is a profession of faith. God will provide for himself. What does your faith in the only true God look like? Can others recognize your faith? How will you answer God in your Q&A section about your faith in them? God's testing will have numerous components to confirm in yourself, for yourself, circumstances, events, or difficult people that may get you easily provoked or easily frustrated, and you're clearly and undoubtedly angry all the time. But now, due to the work of God within your essence, you display something so many thought was an inability for you. You know what it is? Patience. And God continues his testing, and your patience continues to be refined, polished, and perfected. You experience various works of injustice, insults, ill treatment, cruel, insensitive, and spiteful words and actions are hurtful and downright painful, where the natural, fleshly, sinful response would be to launch slurs and slights and insults with a few choice cuss words right back at them and place them in the grudge category or write their name off as an enemy forever. Can anyone relate to this truth? Or was I the only one who acted this way? But now, with the occupation of the Trinity, your innermost being is filled with love, and one of its byproducts is forgiveness, because you now have experienced, know, and understand what the only true God has forgiven you for the plethora of sin for most of your life, every sin of thought, every sin of word, and every sin of deed. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Can I get an amen for God's unconditional love and forgiveness? Now, if you were like me, then you will understand and relate to this passage in Luke 7. This is what Jesus said to the Pharisee named Simon. "For this reason I say to you, her sins, which are many, have been forgiven, for she loved much. But he who is forgiven little, loves little." So may I ask, if those you interact with, would they testify? And if they did, would they say you love little or much? What will your test results indicate about one of the greatest expressions of love? forgiveness? Or would they say, no, they hold grudges for a long time? Now, how about God's blessing in the financial area of your life? God blesses you with an increase. And where your natural tendency would be to hoard or store up for yourselves treasures, but now there's a change in the way of thinking, and generosity now becomes an intrinsic attribute, and you have seen and tasted God's generosity to you, you can rest assured there will not be a note on the board that says, "This will be on the test." But, my fellow disciples, it will be there. You can count on that. And oh, how can I not mention testing on love? And it seems that most testing on love always seems to involve family. But you can be certain strangers could also be called to testify as well. I wonder why. Do you think for family is because they know you the best? Or because they have witnessed and know your fleshly sinful patterns? Would they be witnesses and offer testimony? And what would they really say? You know, because before God, they're going to have to tell the truth. How about the stranger? What would they say? Love seems to expose more of the self-made, self-conceited, self-concerned, self-conceived, self-produced high level of care, because it's not love. That's the plain old truth. Because it's what you've made love out to be compared to what you would discover in and through God's word and spirit teaching as to what love really is. Listen, beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. The one who does not love does not know God, for God is love. And if someone says, "I love God," and hates his brother, he is a liar. For the one who does not love his brother whom he has seen, cannot love God whom he has not seen, as I quote what God said in First John 4. Love is one of God's foundational attributes. You've heard it, God is love. And God being an infinite being, their love is infinite. No limits, no dimensions, no exceptions. That's the simple truth. God's love is patient, is kind and not jealous, does not brag and is not arrogant, does not act unbecomingly, it does not seek its own, is not provoked, does not take into account a wrong suffered, does not rejoice in unrighteousness, but rejoices with the truth, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. Therefore, God never fails. That's the plain old truth. I will ask, and remember, it will be on the question clipboard. How do you love? And if you've been taking into account all the wrongs you have suffered, and because you are, then you're living in direct opposition with God's word, truth, and life. So, would that be a pass or fail? And if it's fail, is that a yes or a no, NGA? And time will surely run out, or we'll be here till tomorrow, talking about tests for knowledge and self-control, your mind, your heart, understanding, obedience, testimony. I mean, everything is tested by God. And if God is testing, maybe he wouldn't have to test as much That is, if you're self-testing, just wiping your lens off a little bit so you can see clearer, that's all. So, how are y'all doing with testing yourselves? I hear so many using the cliche, God is in control, yet fail to live as they truly believe in his sovereignty. It does make me wonder, do they really believe that God is sovereign? Or it's just a popular catchphrase to spout out to impress others? Please believe, every past test God uses for his disciples is to cause learning opportunities, spiritual growth, and develop an enduring trust and faith that results in a deeper faith in God, because a persevering faith brings forth purposeful testing. Let me say that again. A persevering faith brings forth purposeful testing. Before we plunge deeper into God's word, cogitate on this. You as a disciple of Jesus are commanded by God to perform tests as well. And this testing has a specific purpose and must be a constant practice to ensure you are not misled. God calls you his disciples, and as their disciples, you have a spiritual duty to examine one's doctrine. And the doctrine you use as the measuring or comparing standard is Jesus' doctrine and his alone, NGA. Consider this passage which God said through the disciple John in 1 John 4:1. This is what it says. Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. God calls for their disciples to test the spirits. Let me just ask you straight away. If you are not a student of God's word, don't really read it, nor spend any real time in it studying, what would you use to test the spirits? As a disciple of Jesus, you've got to know what God has said. Do you remember what God the Father said through their disciple Mark in Mark chapter 9? Then a cloud formed, overshadowing them, and a voice came out of the cloud. This is my beloved Son. Listen to him. This is not God the Father making a suggestion or recommendation about you as one of their disciples, my fellow disciples. No. This is a command from God the Father that you are to listen to Jesus. And as Jesus' disciple, you are to be attentive and cautious when encountering any spirit, to scrutinize the spirits and spiritual professors that you encounter that are now walking among the masses. God warns their disciples to be careful as to who you esteem, observe, and believe. Be cautious as to who you depend on for spiritual guidance. Vigilance is necessary as to who and what you accept and agree to as truth. And be totally aware and accept this truth of God, that not every professor that claims they are a seer or they are inspired or have revelations from God directly, test them and proceed watchfully. Remember, it's God's word and spirit that will equip you with the necessary discernment to distinguish authentic from fake, see through the smoke and mirrors, and ascertain truth from error. Amen. Now, we all know that one is prepared, they display the right kind of confidence, and therefore studying and being prepared. So, as we get ready to dive into this truth, I pray that it really brings forth the true indication of what you should know about God. And it's amazing to think. Now, let's dive into this passage, which is the last one of the day. And just think about this. You can test God, and God welcomes you and the test. And believe me, you surely want to. Listen to what God says through their disciple Malachi in Malachi 3. Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, so that there may be food in my house. And test me now in this, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing until it overflows. First, may I ask, why would you not want to test the only true God, who's the creator of the universe and all that is in it? He made you, is all-knowing, infinitely powerful in everything and everywhere present. He's good, loving, and merciful. They're kind, full of grace and truth and forgiving. They're holy, faithful, and righteous, tremendously understanding. They are the purest spirit you will ever know. They grant life, give hope, and peace. They're consistent and never change. They console, discipline, and are compassionate, and they encourage. They listen, advise, strengthen, and convict. Their light eradicates any darkness. They can meet the innermost desires and yearnings of your heart. They're just and incorruptible. They are immortal and infinite, trustworthy, unequaled, inscrutable, unfathomable, and unsearchable. They are one essence with three distinct persons and will make you like them. So if it's not that, then it must be you just don't believe. Why you want to test the only true God? Because then the saying, seeing is believing, would occur right before your eyes. That's the plain old truth. That is, if you believe. But do you believe in the only true God? Now, I'm not saying just walk up to any coffer and throw in some loose change or a buck or two to see what this God can do. No, my fellow disciples. It's the place where God leads you to go. But you must have faith and believe that God would do what they say they're going to do. And then go. Go. That sounds familiar. So, may I ask you, what and whom do you have your faith and trust in? I sure hope it ain't this snake pit with its trinkets. Now, God commands love, service, and reverence. We are called to bring our first fruits as an offering to God, which is your tithes and offerings. So God's house touches the lives of many people outside of your direct view, steps, and care. And if you don't through your ministry, then who does? And for God to say, test me? If you don't test him, what does that reflect your lack of faith in the only true God? Because as a disciple of Jesus, we all know and believe God is the provider of life, all life. And when God says all, we know he means all. Because he's Jehovah Jireh. The provider. Listen, if you test God with the whole tithe and offering, then God will. That's the plain old truth. Did you hear it? If you, then God. Because I have seen it with my own eyes, and I will say what all the other disciples are saying and will say forever. What was from the beginning, what we have heard, what we have seen with our eyes, what we have looked at and touched with our hands concerning the word of life, what we have seen and heard, we proclaim to you also, so that you too may have fellowship with us. And indeed our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. When God opens the window, it stays open. When he pours out a blessing for you, it's continuous. And when you are in need of a blessing that God has planned and ordained for your life, look up and get the saucer. Oh, the predetermined plan and foreknowledge of God. As we head back up, take this with you. The obvious results of this spirituality exam is evidence. Evidence of God's fingerprint, evidence of God's surgical work that performed and completed without scars, evidence of new spiritual life versus death, evidence of God's love, God's word, God's grace, God's mercy, God's power, God's might, and God's fruit. Evidence of the only true God, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit's occupation, you know, their presence and work. And when there's no evidence of what is justified and just testified to, fail. It's as simple as that. Jeremiah 17:10 says, I, the Lord, search the heart. I test the mind, even to give to each man according to his ways, according to the results of his deeds. Yes, you can test God. So, let me ask you again. Test and testing, a necessity? Yes or no? NGA. Let me pray for you. Abba, I love you and thank you for today. This is a day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Abba, I ask for your forgiveness for my evil thoughts, evil words, and evil deeds. Abba, I am so thankful and so grateful for the work you have done in and through my essence. And as you know, I was the dumpster. And yet how you've made me into this new creature, it baffles my mind. I am so thankful and grateful for the life you have brought forth. I am overwhelmed with the joy when my spirit proclaims your name, your word, and your truth. I lift up all the listeners to you today, Father, that you would be merciful. And for those that need to hear, you grant hearing. For those that need to see, you command seeing. And for those that need to repent, you would offer repentance. Give them faith. Touch them with your loving hands. Bring forth your spirit into their essence. Fill their essence with the truth of how you are, your love for them, and all that you have planned for their lives. Make that known to them today, so they too will proclaim you as the only true God and believe it's Jesus that you have sent so that we would have eternal life with you. Thank you for your faithfulness in pouring forth a blessing till it overflows. I ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, thanks for tuning in to Diving Deep with DL. The Lord's loving kindness indeed never cease, for his compassions never fail. They're new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. Have a great day of worship and keep walking the way.